Good to meet Brother Richard and his wife tonight. And we preachers, sometimes we're not real observant. I feel like tonight he's not been very observant tonight as he's come in the service. I did not play around the train track. I just want y'all to know. It was a stupid thing, I agree. Amen. You better watch out. You'll come up a little short-handed if you're not careful. Amen. It's been a joy to be here already tonight. Even I've enjoyed the week, but tonight has really been good. Good to see everyone, and appreciate you being here tonight in the Lord's house. And just thank God for you. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of John. John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. Got a message on my heart, and these preachers, I understand, sometimes you have a couple of messages on your heart. It's really bad when you've got two. I'd rather have three or four or five than just two. I'm serious. Seems like the two is such a struggle because you keep bouncing back from one back to the other, from that one back to the other, back and forth. When you got four or five, you just say, oh, this is too much. I'm just going to settle on this one. And you kind of do that. Tonight, I'm just kind of torn in between. I feel like, and I hope you folks will understand, and I guess I'm talking to those of you that might be here lost tonight. God has really burdened my heart today for, and always, I thank God always for the burden for the lost people. But I just feel like that we've had some folks this week in our services that are lost, and I'm just burdened, and it's a good burden. I'm not whining and crying about it and say, boy, I wish God would remove this burden. Well, in a sense, I do, but I hope he removes it by way of salvation. Amen. But if you're here lost tonight, you're our very special guest. I mean that, and we appreciate you coming. And I know we're in the midst of a revival meeting, and I truly believe we've been experiencing revival every service. It's been good. I've talking with you folks. Some of you keep telling me, you know, different ones every night. Seems like somebody says, thank you so much. And God spoke to my heart, and I really needed that. And I praise the Lord. That's encouraging. But seems like tonight, the Lord just wants us to kind of touch some basic things about salvation. And so the rest of you be patient with us. I believe if you pay attention, God can bless your heart through the message tonight. So if you're able to stand with us, we'll look to the book of John, chapter number 1, beginning with verse number 1. Read a few verses of Scripture and just see where the Lord leads us tonight, all right? In John, chapter number 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, now that's not talking about tonight. That's not talking about in the beginning of our lifetime. That's talking about in the very beginning, okay? Before there ever was those amoebas running around, before there ever was evolution that started, you know, amen. I'm talking about in the beginning. Before any of that junk came up, amen. Before man came along and made this stuff up. And that's literally what has happened. And before all of that, the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now look to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now we know, if you don't even have to be a Bible scholar, if you know anything about the Bible, we know that the Word is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what the Bible is declaring to us. And so this is a basic thing, and if you're not saved, you don't even get that. And I understand it, and I'm not putting you down, because every one of us was there at one time or another in our life. And so we're not belittling you. We're not saying you're not smart as we are. That smartness has nothing to do with this. Amen. It's a faith thing. Amen. And so then we go back to verse number 3. The Bible says, and all things were made by him. Now, if you've got any questions about where did we come from? Where did things come from? How did this happen? Well, the Bible's telling you right there. And he says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him, now look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light, Jesus Christ, is our light. That's what he's saying right here. He's the one that gives us light. Now, if we are saved, it's because the Lord Jesus Christ has shone in our life. Amen? And praise the Lord for that light. And then the Bible says in verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, I have a little flashlight up here. It's not all that big of a flashlight. But if I were to ask the men, and I won't do it because some folks are just plumb afraid of darkness, all right? And so I won't do it. But if I were to ask them to turn out the lights, it would be, other than street lights outside and all of that, it would be total darkness in here. You agree? Yes. Amen? And I could take this little bitty flashlight, turn it on. Yes, it's on. All right? You see it's on? And though it be total darkness, the moment I turn this on, there will be some light in here. Okay? The darkness, I mean, without it would be, it would comprehend the whole place. And there would be no light. But when we turn the light on, there's light. You might say, well, it wouldn't be a very much light for all of us to be able to get around, but it would be some light. Now, the point is, when Jesus shines in our life as a lost person, we're full of darkness. As a lost person, the Bible says that we're blinded by darkness. Amen. We can't see anything. You say, Brother Danny, now, I'm lost, but I can see. But you can't see spiritual things. Amen. You can't see that you're lost. That's the reason when we witness to folks and they say, oh, I'm all right. The problem is they can't see that they're not all right. Even though they're not all right, they can't see that. Amen. So if you're here lost tonight, you might very well think you're all right, but the truth is, my dear friend, my heart goes out to you because I was there. But the truth is, you're not all right. The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we need to understand this. And he says that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, Jesus Christ, that all men through him might believe. He was not, talking about John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, Jesus Christ. That was the true light, Jesus Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight, dear Lord, for your precious word. Lord, most of the time, Father, I feel so inadequate, Lord, to be able to read your word and have you to share with me, and yet, Lord, for me to have the ability then to share with others what you've shared with me, I can't do it, Lord. Not the way you share it with me. But tonight, Lord, I ask you, Father, as humbly as I know how, God, that you'd use us tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak through us tonight. I pray that you'd speak directly to the hearts of those that are here tonight lost. I pray, Heavenly Father, God, that we'd not make it darker than what it already is. I pray, but Lord, that we would share the light with these folks. I pray that Christians would even get help tonight, realizing, Lord, as you tell us that we are the light of the world. Lord, that we're to bear witness of you, the light, and to have the light shine through us tonight. I pray, God, that you'd help us. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We look here at these scriptures, my friend, and for the child of God, these are very dear, precious scriptures. Amen. All scripture is. I understand that. But boy, we begin to get the understanding of, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so some of us, we can quickly say, hey, praise the Lord, that's exactly what happened. And others of you that might be here tonight may have reservation about that. And I'm being honest. And it's because you're walking in darkness and you just can't see the light that is Jesus Christ. Look with me. We're going to look in several scriptures tonight. Look with me in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians and chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 17. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now, Paul is the penman here and writing down the words that God is telling him to write down because it is the Word of God. And so Paul is the one that's writing. He's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's speaking to them when he says that you should walk not as other Gentiles walk. He's talking about now that you're saved, you should not walk as others, those that walk in darkness. Well, let's just go ahead, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, Paul is addressing the problem of a lost person. They're blinded. Their heart is blinded to the goodness of God. We got saved. I remember the night I got saved, March the 27th, 1969. It was on a Thursday night. I can go into great details about it. Maybe not everyone can, but I can about when I got saved. And I remember so well, folks, listen to me. It was the greatest thing that had ever happened in my life, and it's been the greatest thing that's ever happened. But it was the greatest thing that ever happened because when the Lord moved in, I began to see things that I'd never seen before. Amen. I mean, it was literally like having my eyes open to what was really going on. I began to witness a love in my life that I'd never experienced before. I mean, words just really won't explain it. But I'm just telling you, I was lost in my sins, my friend. But the night before, most of y'all have heard my testimony, but the night before I got saved, I was there at church. Did not go because I was looking for God or wanting religion or anything like that. I went because I wanted to sit by a girl. That was my reason for going to church. But God began to deal with my heart. But as I sat there in that pew, I began to get upset and mad at the preacher and everybody around there. My friend, why? Because I was walking in darkness and could not see what was going on. And I got mad and I said, I'll not come back. The next night I go back to church and there, my friend, the Lord begins to speak to me again. And oh, my friend, such conviction set in upon me. And I was still arguing. And it wasn't me that was needing this salvation. It must have been somebody else. But in that invitation, God began to, the light began to come on. And all of a sudden I realized, it was me. It was me that needed this gospel. I needed to hear this gospel as it's being preached. Why? Because I needed the Christ of this gospel in my heart, in my life. And when the moment I believed, my friend, listen to me, that light no longer shone like this, but that light was shining like this in my heart. And I God began to reveal things to me. Things just begin to happen. Abundantly things just begin to happen. Not just one or two little things, but just great things and plenty of them begin to happen immediately that night in my life. Well, it's amazing to me. And that's what the Bible is speaking about here. He says in verse number 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. When he says past feeling, he's talking about it's in the book of 1 Timothy about people having their conscience seared with a hot iron, no longer feeling of the touch of God or God's presence or God speaking in their life at all. Then he says giving them over to lasciviousness. That means just to lustfulness and to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned from Christ. You didn't get that from Christ, he's saying. Then he says in verse number 21, if so be that ye have heard him, talking about Jesus, and have been taught by him, Jesus, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, the night I got saved, I was just an old sinful individual. Did not realize it, did not know it. I thought I was a pretty good guy. Amen. I mean, if you had asked my mom about me, I was 19 years old, living at home. My mom, if you had asked my mom about Danny, what do you think about your son? She said, she would have told you, there's nothing wrong with me. You know why? She was living in sin too. She was a sinner. But that night, the Lord showed me, I mean, that light shone around about me, and I realized that I am a sinner. Why? What made me a sinner? My friend, I was born into a world of sin. And God said that we've all sinned. I know I've already quoted it, but that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us are sinners tonight. You go back here in the nursery, they're little sinners. Amen? They're sinners. We're all sinners. I mean, you say, but I'm not all that bad. Oh, but you're a sinner. You're a sinner. My friend, we don't stand up and mark on the wall, you're this size sinner, you're this size sinner, you're this size sinner. We're all sinners. Amen. And the Lord is wanting to reveal that in your life. Why? Because if you die as a sinner, you'll go to a devil's hell. Amen. You see, you can't go to heaven as a sinner. Jesus told a very religious man named Nicodemus one time, he said, Nicodemus, ye must be... Now, this man was very religious. He was what we would call a good guy. I mean, he would have been good deacon material in our churches. Amen. He knew the law. As a matter of fact, he taught the law. He knew about the... He knew the Old Testament. That's all they had then. But he knew it backwards and forward. He knew it very well. But Jesus said to this good man, if you will, and I know the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. That's true too, because God says so. But in our eyes, Nicodemus would have been a good man. And yet Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now what is this new birth? This new birth is when the light comes on and we realize it's me that's a sinner. And when I come to that realization that I'm a sinner, you know what? I realize that Jesus is the Savior. If I'm a sinner, I'm needing to be saved from my sins. And Jesus is the Savior. The only one. He's not one of two or three or four. Well, Brother Danny, I just kind of at the belief that different denominations... Hey, whoa, whoa. There's not a denomination that's right. If the denomination is the right thing, then my friend, then there would be salvation in that denomination. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But salvation is not in a denomination. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. You say, where do you get all of this? From the light. See, I didn't know any of this stuff when I was 19 years old, just before I got saved. I didn't know a thing about the Scriptures. I didn't know one thing. There, you could have quizzed me on any. You could have said, the Bible, who wrote the Bible? I have no idea. I didn't know it was the Word of God. I never went to church. Never heard any teachings about the Lord. But my friend, that night when the Lord shined that light upon me and let me see in my life that I was a sinner, I told you, He revealed a whole lot of things to this old boy, and he's not through. Amen. Amen? But He is the Savior. I mean, He's the only one. And oh, I'm so glad He let me know that I was lost and on the road to hell. And like Nicodemus, my friend, I, being a pretty good person, I mean, I never killed anybody. I never robbed a bank nor a train. Amen? I mean, I never even went as bad as to jump a train. As some have. Amen. Be sure your sins will find you out. I didn't do those kind of things. I had, as far as a testimony, I had a pretty good testimony in the area in which I was raised and brought up. I was one of those boys brought when I was being raised. I wore a cap a lot of times when I was a little boy, and I'd wear that cap. And when I'd come over to your house and knock at the door to play with one of your boys, I'm one of those guys that when you came to the door, I pulled my cap off. And you say, well, big deal. I'm just telling you. That's the way I was taught. And I was taught that you respect your elders, and it spilled over in such a way. I just thought, well, if I'm supposed to respect my elders, maybe I ought to respect everyone. Amen. I was a pretty good boy. If you'd have went around the neighborhood asking and doing a survey about Danny Long, our neighbors would have told you, he's a good boy. Now I'm 19, he's a good young man. And boy, listen, I'm serious now. If people that I knew, if their children was my age, and they knew that they were going somewhere with me, doing something to me, it was fine. Because I was a good boy. They wanted them to hang around with me. Amen. Because I was a good boy. They felt like I was a good influence on them. But the truth was, I was lost. I was lost being a good boy. Well, I'm glad that light shone in my life. Because that'd been a good boy on the road to hell tonight. If it wasn't for the glorious light of the gospel. Amen. God is interested tonight in turning the light on in your life that you can see yourself for what you really are. You need, listen to me, don't sit there and be happy and content with it. Oh, I'm all right. Or the term I think up here would be, I'm all set. You might be all set for hell. Amen. You might be all set for hell. I'm telling you tonight, listen to me, you need the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that light to shine in your life. You need to let the Lord speak to you. Instead of sitting there and saying, oh, I don't want to hear this. I don't need this. This is not for me. It won't hurt you to listen. It won't hurt you to listen. Because when we come to the end of the service, most of you are familiar with invitations in the church here. But when we come to the end of the service, we're going to give an invitation. That does not mean we're going to come and grab you and bring you forward. It means we're going to invite you to come to Jesus. So if you don't want to, you don't have to. Amen. If you don't want to, we're not going to make you. But we are going to give you an invitation to come. I'm glad that the Lord did that for me in my life. I'm glad. I'm thankful for the light tonight. Amen. That still shines in my life. This light shines like a flashlight. This light shines, my friend, and I can use it to get around in this world. So I'm not always, if the lights are off, that I'm not bumping into things and tripping over things. You see, there's some of us here tonight that seems like we just can't keep from messing up. You know what? And you can't. You can't without that glorious light, Jesus Christ. Because, see, you're blinded. You're walking in darkness. And my friend, listen, when the light shines in your life, you begin to see, and you'll even recognize things that will trip you up that you would have never thought would trip you up. You begin to realize, hey, they will. Or they may not, but they look dangerous enough. I'm going to stay away from them. That's the light. Amen. I challenge you tonight, go home and get in a dark room and don't have any lights on and walk around in there and see how many times you run into something. But then get you just a little flashlight, just a little old flashlight, and you'll notice something. Just that much light will make the difference in your world. It'll show you really how blind you were in darkness. You see, it's hard to tell you're blind in darkness because it's already dark. But that's the way the devil plays his game. Amen. And he wants to keep you in darkness so that you can never see that you need the light, Jesus Christ. Remember, he is the light. Thank God he's a greater light than this. Because sometimes I have to look at this to make sure it's on. Sometimes I have to bump it to get it to come on. Amen. But I found this out about the Lord. He's always shining. Amen. He's always shining. Amen. The Bible tells us also in the book of Matthew. Look with me over there in Matthew and chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Very familiar verses with you that you're going to see when you get there. In Matthew chapter number 5. And the Bible says in verse number 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What is this about? Well, it's about us letting our light shine that we can point others to the light, Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know what? I've noticed some of us, we claim to be, don't get mad at me, I'm just going with what you give me, okay? That's all I can go by. Some of you claim to be a Christian. You know what that means? That means now you're the one running around with the light. And you're going to come into contact with folks that have no light in their life. And so we're to let our light shine that they might see our good works and glorify our Father. What is that talking about? That He might be manifested in their life or be made known in their life. Amen. And we're to let our light shine. And to be frank with you, some of us are doing a poor job. Amen. Now, I noticed something about a flashlight. The longer you leave the light on, the dimmer the light gets. But do you realize the more you walk with the Lord and talk with the Lord, fellowship with Him, the brighter you shine? Amen. The brighter you shine. How many of you have ever had a flashlight that it just won't work? You open it up and you look, and that little spring in there, or maybe on down there, that little metal button type thing is corroded. Maybe your batteries even get corroded. I think that may be the problem with some of us Christians tonight, because we haven't been using our light. If I use my light, it'll usually run the battery down. Then I change the batteries. But if I don't use my light, they just get corroded laying in there, not being used. Amen? Christians, I think it's time some of us come and ask God to change us out, change our batteries out. Amen. What are you talking about? I'm talking about get that fellowship renewed. Now, we won't turn there, but in 1 John chapter number 1, most of the verses in chapter 1 deal with that fellowship. How that that fellowship will cause us to walk in the light. Amen. Why? Because we're walking in the light with Jesus. He is the light. We're walking in Him. And we have that fellowship now. And my friend, and it causes, listen, as we walk in the light, I like to do this. If I've got a flashlight and there's two or three walking with me, I don't try to just hold it right in front of me. I try to hold it out where we all can see. Amen? See, that's the way we ought to be doing, is trying to help one another out as they see their way through this life. Amen. I may be just one little light, but you'd see quickly. If all the lights were out, this one little light would sure make a difference. Amen. Amen. Folks, listen. All I know to do is to tell you that Jesus is the light, and that He loves you, and that He wants to come into your heart and forgive you for your sins. You see, we said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, that's not good enough. Just telling you that you're a sinner. But to tell you that there's one that can forgive you of your sins, that makes it good. And Jesus is the one that will come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and save your soul if you'll ask Him. It's amazing. That's all it takes to get saved, is to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and save you. And He'll do it. Amen. He's committed Himself to that. It's not that we hold Him to it. It's that He will hold Himself to it. He says He'll in no wise cast you out if you come unto Him. Amen. He loves you tonight. He loves you, and He really cares about you. You say, but preacher, I don't have anything to offer the Lord. He knows that. He knows that. What would you offer a God that's got everything anyway? Huh? What do you have that you think He would want? I can tell you, your heart. He wants your heart. God loves you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you. Why don't you come to Him tonight? Why don't you instead of sitting there or standing there, we'll have everybody standing in a moment, instead of standing there and fighting this thing and just saying, no, you say, preacher, I'm not going to fight it. I'm just not coming. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Why would you want to do that when you can be walking in the light and you can see? Let me tell you, folks that walk in the light are the ones that have joy in their life. Folks that walk in the life are in the light are the ones that have peace in their life. I mean, that the Bible calls it peace that passeth all understanding. I mean, it makes the difference in whether being afraid to die or not. Amen. I mean, to know the Lord Jesus Christ lives in your heart, oh, my friend, that takes away all fear from you. Amen. I mean, listen, you can face anything if you know Jesus as your Savior. How do you think folks have literally walked over to a guillotine and knelt down there and put their head in that thing and let them chop it, their head off without them fussing and fighting about it? You say, people can't do that. Oh, but they have done it down through the years and they're still doing it today. How can anyone do that? Because they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. How can folks face surgery in the morning at 5 o'clock and the doctor's already told you there's a chance you won't come through this? And they say, so be it. That's what the Lord wants. Praise be to the Lord. Amen. And they don't say it sorrowfully. They say it with assurance. Hey, if I don't wake up from y'all putting me to sleep, you can just find me in heaven shouting. Amen. Amen. You see, if you're saved, if your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ and you're saved, you're a winner either way. Because if you stay here, God's still in control of your life. Well, amen. And if you go, the Bible says there will be no light in that city called heaven. None of these. You won't find a flashlight up there, whether it works or don't work. Won't be none. You say, well, what are we going to do, Brother Danny? Just walk around in a dark city? Oh, no, the Bible says that Jesus is the light of that city. You know what that means? Listen, I'm a-looking. There's shadows under these pews. Every one of them. Some of them, the shadow's kind of out here. As I'm looking back, the shadow kind of changes, you know. But you know, in heaven, there'll not be one shadow. Won't be any shadows. Amen. Because Jesus is such a great light. There'll be, the Bible says in Him there's no darkness at all. Even not even a shadow. Amen. Boy, to live in a place like that that stays lit up all the time, well, why not? We're not going to be busy going to bed and sleeping 8 hours, are we? We're going to be about the Father's business. What is that? Praising the Lamb of God. Amen. But are your sins forgiven? Are you saved? Are you sure? Are you sure you're saved? I don't mean, are you pretty sure? No. Are you positively sure? Listen, if God were to call down from heaven and say, I'm coming back right now to get my loved ones, and there's only one in Blackstone Valley Baptist Church, there's only one that's really saved, and that's the one I'm coming after. My reply would be this: y'all better do something, because he's coming back after me. You better get ready. I'm sure for heaven tonight. Why? Because it's not my works. See, I'd be afraid. If anything had to do with my works, I'd be afraid. I might let him down at the last moment and it'd be too late. But I'm not afraid of that. Why? Because it's not by my works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God is offering you a gift tonight. It'll be the greatest gift you could ever, ever, ever receive. You say, well, I don't know, Brother Danny, that lottery. Yeah, that lottery won't even touch what God's trying to give you tonight. Why? Because you can't buy eternal life. You cannot buy eternal life. Why? It's a free gift. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't it amazing? You say, "Preacher, I don't know if I can afford this salvation." It's a gift. Amen. That means you don't have to afford it. It's already been afforded for you. Jesus paid the price at Calvary. When he died on Calvary, he paid our sin debt in full. He didn't make a down payment. He paid it in full. Amen. Folks, listen, why not come to the light tonight? You say, "Brother, I don't know about all this." Listen, if you start praying right now and asking God to show you, you know what? He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll put enough light in your life that you can see to take a step. And he'll put enough more in it. He'll just keep on to all of a sudden you see the picture. Why not tonight come to Jesus? Christians, why not? Why do we want to give the world the false pretense? I don't know if those are the right words, but the false picture of us. We're saved, but we don't live like it. Why are we carrying around a flashlight that doesn't work, in other words? Why not live for this Jesus? Oh, my friend, the greatest thing is when he saved me. And then he said, he didn't just save me. Danny saved. I'm over here hollering, "I'm saved." No, he didn't just save me like that. But he called me to service. What do you mean? He saved me and he said, "Now here's your little light. Now I'm going around saying, 'This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine.'" I never claimed to be a singer, amen? "But I'm going to let my little light shine." Why? That others might see Christ through me. What about you, Christian? Isn't it time that you start letting that light shine? You say, "I used to, Brother Danny. There was a time when I feel like I'm not bragging on me. I'm just the Lord through me. Boy, let me shine." And it was a glorious time. You got to admit, if you're a Christian, I don't care how backslidden you are, if you're honest, you'll say the best times of my life has not been since I've been backslidden, but they were when I was right with God. Amen. And it don't matter who you blame it on, you're still not having a good time. So why do you want to throw it on somebody else when you ought to come and just get things right with the Lord? Your decision tonight. Will you come to the light? Everyone standing, every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. The pianist is going to come and the pastor is going to be up here. What about tonight? Why don't you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You say, "Preacher, listen, man, this is new to me. I mean, really, I don't know that much about it. I don't really understand all of this that's going on." I remember that March the 27th of 1969. I stood in that same place that you're standing tonight, and I didn't understand. Then the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, "It's not about understanding, it's about believing. It's about believing." And that night, I believed because his word told me that I was a sinner. I believed that. And that night, when the Lord said, "Come unto me," I believed him. I believed that he would not cast anyone out that came to him. I believed him. I didn't understand it, but I believed him. And when I went forward that night, you know what happened? He did exactly what he said he'd do, though I still didn't understand it. Boy, it's the greatest thing ever happened. There's still a whole lot about it I don't understand. I've got to be honest with you. But I found out it never comes down to what I believe or what I understand. It's always on what I believe. It's what I believe, and I believe God. I believe it's already settled. It's already done. My friend, now all that's left for me to do is believe and act upon that. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if there's someone here tonight would say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? God has shown me I'm lost. I don't understand all this, but it's not about understanding, as you said. But I'm lost. And I don't want to die in my sins and go to hell. Preacher, would you pray for me in this prayer? I'm not going to come to you and embarrass you. No one else is. I just want to pray for you tonight." It won't get you saved. I'm being honest with you. You'll have to ask Jesus to save you in order to get saved. But I'd sure be honored to pray for you at this time that God will give you strength and courage to step out and come and believe Him. You say, preacher, that's me. Would you pray for me? Just slip that hand up right quick and drop it back down. Would you do that tonight? Would you like to be saved? Anyone tonight? Would you like? Yes. Amen. Anyone else tonight? You say, preacher, it's me. Oh, I want to know Jesus. I don't want to die in my sins and go to hell. Preacher, I want to know Him. I want to be a witness to this peace that you're talking about and this joy that you're talking about, because we're living in a world where there's not any peace at all and there's no joy. You mean you can have that in this world now? Yes, my friend, you certainly can. It's all through Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't understand. I don't either, but it sure is good. Sure is good. I wonder if there's another one tonight that say, preacher, pray for me. Is there one more right quick? Would you raise your hand? For we pray. Maybe a Christian, or maybe a church member should say tonight that you're saying, oh, I'm all set. Oh, I'm okay. Maybe in your heart, you know you're really not all set and you're not okay. You say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm struggling with this thing. I don't know for sure. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. He said, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Well, I'd hate to base eternity upon something I'm not sure about. I'm being honest with you. Tonight, we'd sure like to pray for you. We'd like to be here to help you if you'd come. We'd sure like to open the Bible and show you what God says about this great salvation. Is there another one right quick? Right quick. Is there another one? Preacher, I'm not sure. Pray for me. Pray for me. I wonder tonight if there's a Christian here, say, preacher, haven't been letting my light shine. I know what it's like to walk in the light. I know what it's like to let the Lord's light shine through me, but I haven't been doing it here of late. Preacher, would you pray for me that I'd get things right with God, that my little light start shining again? Yes, God bless you. This is important. Yes, amen. This is important. This is important for me. But this is important for my wife. This is important for our children. This is important for our grandchildren. And on. But this is important for everyone around me, even those strangers, even those that we might even consider enemies. It sure would be good if we'd let our little light shine that they might get saved. We might realize we got a friend in Jesus. Amen. You say, preacher, pray for me. Is there one more? Yes, God bless you. Father, Lord, this is your invitation. We know that. But we thank you tonight, Lord. God, for speaking to hearts. Lord, we ask you, dear God, for these that have raised their hand, that they want us to pray for them. Some have raised their hand that they're lost, and they want us to pray for them. Dear God, I ask you that your sweet Holy Spirit would woo them and just, Lord, just draw them in such a manner, Lord, that, Father, it'd be almost like they couldn't help it. They'd just have to come because you're so wonderful. Lord, would you help them do that tonight? Lord, these that are not sure, I pray tonight, dear God, that, Lord, that you'd speak to their heart and reveal to them where they are with you. Lord, then for these Christians tonight that have said they're not living for you like they need to and they would like to, Lord, I pray tonight for them that you'll help them to come in this hour. Lord, help us to not settle with just the fact that we know where we are and we've raised our hand. Help us, God, that we want to get things right with you the way you want them right. Lord, help us in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Why don't you come tonight? Why don't you come? If you need to be saved, you want to be saved, why don't you come tonight? Why don't you just step out and come? You don't have to understand. Just believe tonight. Jesus died for you. Would you come and believe upon him tonight and receive him? It's your decision. Would you come tonight? Come on, you raised your hand. We prayed for you. You heard us pray for you. Now would you come and pray for yourself? You say, I don't know how to pray. It's talking to the Lord. Just like you would talk to me, you just talk with him. Why don't you come tonight? Come on. Won't you come to the pastor tonight and say, Pastor, I don't know about this salvation. I don't know all about it. I don't know really how to do it, but I just know I want to be saved. Why don't you come tonight and talk with the pastor? Come on. Come on. Don't let the devil would like to keep you lost and like to take you to his hell. But listen to me. Jesus wants to save you tonight. Would you come? Would you come? If you're not sure, would you come? Don't settle on just praying, but settle on finding out what God wants you to do. Amen. Won't you come tonight? Christian, is your light shining like it ought to? Is it shining like it ought to tonight? Oh, then you need to come to Jesus and ask him to forgive you and cleanse you. He'll remove all that corrosion, we call it sin. He'll remove all that corrosion that you can shine your light again. Amen. Why don't you come tonight? Why don't you come tonight? Dear lost friend, don't put him off. Why would you want to put off eternal life? You know that you can have eternal life tonight, right now, if you call upon the Lord. You could even pray right where you are, as a matter of fact. If you really believe that the Lord is speaking to your heart, and you say, well, how do you know for sure it's God? Well, I can tell you this, the devil never has tempted anyone with salvation. You say, well, I believe God is speaking to my heart. Then it's time to call on him. And you can do it right there at your pew. You can ask him, dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Your word says so. Lord, I'm a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart tonight. Forgive me of my sins and save me. You got to do it just that quick. Why don't you do that tonight right where you are? But I believe this with all my heart. This salvation is so great, you won't be able to contain it. Keep your mouth shut. You'll want to tell somebody. And it might be at the end of the service on your way out, you talk to the pastor or somebody. You'll want to tell them, hey, I accepted Jesus as my Savior tonight. I got that eternal life. Amen. Hey, I got a little light tonight. I came without one, but I got one now. Amen. Won't you come tonight? You still could come if you need some help. That's what we're here for, Pastor.
You've heard the truth. You know, there's a lot of things out there that's lying to you. The TV lies.